All right. I was watching the news the other day, and I was very moved by a story. I was compelled by this story I saw at the Waymo warehouse in South Phoenix. There was one of the electric vehicles caught on fire. There were about 60 firefighters on the scene, and a very unique way I thought of how they were going to extinguish this fire, and it made me think about this new, well, for us it's relatively new, electric vehicles and the challenge that is happening to firefighters in order to extinguish these fires. So I reached out. And joining us right now is Tim Kreiss. He is an assistant fire chief with Phoenix Fire. Chief, welcome to the show.
Well, proud to be here. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about what happened at that scene. There were about 60 firefighters that were deployed at that scene. They had to use a forklift to get it into a dumpster, cover it with wet sand. Is that kind of the standard protocol when something like this happens with an EV?
Well, it is for us. Certainly, the Phoenix Fire Department has always been committed to being a progressive organization. Our expectation is that our firefighters are the best firefighters in the world. They prove that and show me that every day. Emerging technologies and evolving our policies to deal with them is nothing new for Phoenix Fire. I recall having conversations and focusing on things like this back 10, 12 years ago when we started to see photovoltaics really pop up around the country and certainly here in Phoenix. But for us, that particular incident was pretty complex because on one hand, you have a vehicle that's on fire in a building. The sprinkler system in the building, well designed, did what it was supposed to do to contain that fire. The firefighters did an excellent job. They had pre-planned that building. We've done a lot of training on how to deal with electric vehicle fires. This one was a little different because it was in a building. But they were able to address life safety, get the building evacuated, control the fire, had a plan to bring the vehicle out safely and put it into a dumpster that we brought in with some sand on the bottom, cover it with sand, and we were able to get it done and get it out of there.
How did the progress of this happen? How did it go from trying to just use thousands or hundreds of gallons of water on a fire like this? How did it progress to where it is now, where it's in a dumpster and wet sand? What was it that got you to the point that right now this is best practices?
Well, that's a great question, Mike, and it's a lot of research. So when we look at anything changing in our world, we're looking at it from the perspective of emergency service delivery, fire prevention and code enforcement, public education, and most of all, training. So we have some of the best fire protection engineers, certainly the best firefighters on the Phoenix Fire Department. We participate in national committees, and we're leading some of those national committees, NFPA 855 and others. So we've done a tremendous amount of research in determining what the best practices are for handling these incidents. Of course, we understand that with emerging technology, there's going to be lessons learned, and the Phoenix Fire Department is committed to continuing to learn those lessons and evolve our policies. But the policies that we've come up with and utilizing the sand, we feel like that's a pretty good agent to encapsulate those fires and keep them from reigniting. Certainly the process of thermal runaway that can occur with any lithium-ion battery device, whether it's an electric vehicle or a hoverboard or one of those electric bikes, e-bikes, stuff like this. That is a risk when the batteries are abused and those sorts of things happen. But the sand works pretty well for us. One of the things that we were looking at, different folks around the world are doing some different things with them. What I don't want to have is a fire incident that we're not prepared to handle. Electric vehicle that's in thermal runaway that continues to reignite for days and days and days. Those are not up to the standards that I would expect for the Phoenix Fire Department. So our command staff and our engineers and everybody work together to come up with this plan and this policy, and it seems to be working very well for us.
Tim Kreiss is joining us. He is an assistant fire chief of operations division for the Phoenix Fire Department. Let's talk about the hazard of this, because in my industry, I was in the construction industry for a long time. We always had to have updated MSDS sheets on material safety data sheets on file so that if there was an incident, the fire department knew what chemicals they were dealing with. What unique challenges does this for you in a closed-in building with the carcinogens and the hazardous materials there? What challenge does that pose for firefighters?
Well, that's an excellent question. So the first thing for us is really the smoke that you're sort of describing. So when a lithium-ion battery goes into a process of thermal runaway, first thing that we're looking at is really why that can occur. And that could occur because the chemistry of the battery wasn't designed very well. In this country, we really, really want folks to be buying consumer products that are underwriter laboratories validated. So that's a big deal for us. But specific to the hazards that come with them, You've got the toxic gases that come out, hydrogen cyanide, carbon dioxide, and certainly others that can be emitted. Hydrogen gas can be emitted from those batteries when they're going through that process of thermal runaway. So for us, making sure that we're addressing life safety first and foremost in that incident, that our firefighters have the best turnouts and training to protect them from those hazards. And then getting our hazardous materials experts out there to do the air monitoring and those sorts of things so we can make calculated decisions that are aligned with our mission as an organization.
Now, specifically in the fire that I watched on TV, I saw the news coverage of, there were about 60 firefighters at this Waymo warehouse. Is that a standard kind of deployment for a fire like this of 60 firefighters? And if that's the case, do you have the staffing at Phoenix Fire to deal with these if there's multiple issues that are going on? And we know that vehicle fires happen fairly often in our hot environment. Is it going to take that kind of manpower for each one of those?
Well, that's a great question. So for us on the Phoenix Fire Department, managing a traditional gasoline car fire is something that we do every day. We're really, really good at it. Certainly, electric vehicle fires pose some different challenges. And when electric vehicle fires or even a gasoline fire occurs in a building, that's a particularly challenging incident. Another thing that I want to underscore here for us as a fire department, for us to achieve our mission of addressing life safety and being able to respond and react to surprises that may occur to us in the smoke and responding to those fire incidents, those sorts of things, we also have a little bit of a tactical reserve. So unlike a house fire that bread and butter sort of structure fire incident that we're going to deal with, we're going to send three engines, a ladder, a battalion chief, and an ambulance to that. And when you do the math on the amount of personnel we're sending that incident, you're looking at about 20. For a commercial building fire, you're sending more folks to be able to address the things that we need to address. For an electric vehicle fire inside of a commercial building, you can see how the complexity is raised. But moving forward for us, we're looking to become more and more efficient in our resource deployment to electric vehicle fires. I was very impressed with the way things came together the other day at that facility, as we've discussed here. But we're going to continue to challenge the status quo and grow as an organization.
Chief, I appreciate the information because I talked about this before I had any information about it. And my curiosity was, are we prepared as we get more and more EVs on the street? Are we prepared? Are you prepared as a fire department, but us as citizens, are we prepared as a city for more of these incidents happening? Would you say that you are prepared and staffed to, and have the equipment you need to make sure this is done effectively every time?
Well, I can tell you this. The Phoenix Fire Department is not our ability to respond and react to emerging technologies in the community is something that we're very good at on the Phoenix Fire Department. We've done training on electric vehicle fires for the last 2 years. Our training continues to evolve. Just recently, through a process with our regional partners, we updated all of our procedures for micro-mobility devices, battery energy storage systems, photovoltaics and solar systems that exist out there, electric vehicle fires. So we're continuing to get better at these things all the time. But it's larger than just the emergency response pieces here, Mike. So for us, the fire prevention and code enforcement piece is really, really big. So a couple of years ago now, the fire marshal's office, again, we've got amazing folks on the Phoenix Fire Department. They wrote the codes that regulate battery energy storage systems in structures, and those codes have spread across the valley and are very much leading the country and leading the world as best practices for how to handle these sorts of things. We're extremely proud of that. Another piece of this that's really important from my perspective, certainly the fire chief's perspective, and to be approaching these things from a comprehensive sort of look for public safety and community safety, is something as important as public education. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about lithium ion batteries, it's a broader picture than just electric vehicles or energy storage systems, Tesla walls, and these sorts of things. It's cell phones and laptop computers and drills and hoverboards and electric bikes and all these sorts of things. So for folks to know how important it is to make sure that they're buying devices that are UL listed, making sure that they're following the manufacturer's instruction for charging, recognizing if one of those batteries is going into something that could potentially be dangerous, like swelling and these sorts of things, to get those devices out of the home. Certainly if they're off-gassing or certainly if they catch on fire, evacuating the area and calling 911, utilizing the charging cords that those devices came with, keeping them out of direct sunlight, keeping your cell phones out of hot vehicles. All those sorts of things are really important for the communities to understand as well.
Chief, I really appreciate the information and the time today, and I hope you'll pass along our thank you for all the hard work the fire department does to keep us all safe, and we appreciate the time today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir, and I will pass it along. It's an honor.
All right. Thanks, Chief. That is Chief Tim Kreis with the Phoenix Fire Department.